we're going to drop down to informational item number 12, just so we can stay on track for our 2 p.m. Central Time open forum. This is the Oahe Smallmouth Bass Walleye Interactions, and I believe we'll have a virtual. Is Mark with us? Mark, when you are ready, go ahead and introduce yourself, and you can begin.
Can everybody see this?
Oh, yes, we can.
Perfect. So my name is Mark Fentzel. I'm the fisheries supervisor up in the Upper Missouri River Fisheries Management Area. And today I'm going to give a little bit of information on how many of the walleye we stock actually survive, or don't get eaten, I should say. And this really stemmed from when we first started stocking Lake Oahe with small fingerling walleye in 2017. We went out to stock these fish, and pretty much right away it was apparent that, I mean, a lot of these fish were getting eaten by smallmouth. I mean, the smallmouth under the dock were coming up and just gorging themselves right when we started right when we stocked them. And so, you know, both us and the members of the public that were there watching these stockings, you know, started asking us, you know, how many of these fish actually survive? How many of them do, you know, make it to adulthood? And that's kind of a bigger question. You know, the first part we wanted to look at, well, right away, how many of these fish are consumed right away, right when we're stocking them? So we had a very, very simple study objective with this project, and it's to estimate the consumption of age zero walleye by smallmouth bass in some of our bays of Lake Oahe where we're doing these big walleye stockings. Now, it seems like an easy question, but it's actually a multifaceted approach to get the answer to that. You need to know how many smallmouth bass are in these bays at the time of stocking, because as you'll see later, you know, fish move in and out of the bays. Different bays have different number of fish, and I'll get to a little bit later, you know, the number of fish that are being consumed also changes. So we need to know how many fish are in that system at the time of stocking, and then how many fish are being consumed at, you know, different points, you know, so based on a fish's length. So do all smallmouth bass eat the same number of walleye? Do little smallmouth bass eat less or more? You know, conversely, large smallmouth bass, do they eat less or more? Location, is it the same number of fish, you know, no matter where we stock? And is it different through time? So we stock these fish, we see a very short window of smallmouth bass consumption where they're only vulnerable for a day or two, and then, you know, these naive fish become more accustomed to the lake and the predators, and they start having, you know, behaviors that preclude them from getting eaten. Or does consumption last, you know, weeks, if not months, into the system? So all that information is needed so that we can build this, you know, really robust model of to get one single answer, how many fish are being eaten when we stock these walleye. So to answer this question, we looked at two bays on lower Lake Oahe. These are some of the areas that we've been stocking since 2017, and so they've been receiving stockfish. This is actually when we first saw that predation events taking place, so we really focused on those three, and it's close to pier where our crews are, so, you know, try to minimize the travel time. But in 2019, the way we would do it is we'd sample three different bays. Two of the bays would receive a walleye stocking, the third would not receive a walleye stocking, but we go and sample it just the same as if it did, just so we can get a, like, baseline data on, you know, how many of the naturally produced or the wild fish were also being consumed at that time. So in 2019, Spring Creek, Cow Creek, and Okobojo Creek in Lower Lake Oahe were studied, with Cow Creek not receiving a walleye stocking. 2020 happened, you know, our field operations were pretty much shut down during COVID, and so we picked back up in 2021 with Spring Creek, Cow Creek, and Okobojo Creek again, but this time Okobojo Creek was not getting stocked. And again, that third bay was always there as a pseudo control to see what the stocking is on those wild fish. So the first thing we do is collect the fish. And again, this is the fun part of being a fisheries biologist. We use daytime electrofishing. We would hit 2 bays per day. And so, you know, start off the morning, go to the first bay, collect 30 to 50 fish out of that bay, move everything, our entire setup to the next bay and do the same thing. We did that actually 5 days a week for a number of weeks in 2019 and 2021. That being said, we did miss a few days because there's days it blows and storms and stuff like that. But really, we allocated, you know, a lot of time at this effort. We kept all smallmouth bass over 8 inches. That's what we deemed would be, you know, large enough to eat these small fish. And then we recorded effort. So this means trying to get at an idea of the density of fish, you know, the catch per unit effort of smallmouth in these bays throughout that walleye stocking season. So we collected the fish, we brought them into shore. Each fish, we would record length and weight. We'd examine the fish for a tag or a secondary mark, and if there was no tag, we would affix a jaw tag to those fish and then notch the fin as a secondary mark. And we did this because we needed to have a population estimate of how many fish were in the bay at the time of stocking. And so through this, we were able to come up with population estimates about every 2 weeks. And we started 2 weeks prior to stocking and then went up to 6 or 8 weeks after the fish were stocked. And again, this is the way that we can get definitive numbers of how many fish, how many smallmouth bass were in the system during that time. Next thing we do after we tag the fish is probably the coolest thing, you know, you can see is we use pulse gastric lavage to remove diet items. So essentially what we would do is run a small thin tube into the stomach of the smallmouth bass. We would lightly pump water into the stomach, and then the water would return through the esophagus, through the mouth. And then we would also massage the stomach of that fish a little bit. And any items in its stomach at that time would just be regurgitated through its mouth. And then we would collect all the diet items in that metal tray and put it into bags, and then later, you know, weeks, months later, we would pull those bags open and record the number of diet items, you know, figure out what they're eating, how much of the different items are being eaten, and then, you know, proportion by weight and stuff like that. So some of the results now, you know, in general, and it just works out this way with when we stock and the fish behavior, smallmouth bass behavior, but in general, smallmouth bass numbers are lower prior to stocking and lower after stocking. So, you know, it just works out that when these walleye are available, it is the peak time when these smallmouth bass are actually moving from the lake, from the mouth of the lake, from deep in the lake into the bays for their, you know, their spawning behaviors. And then 3 to 4 weeks after, they're actually moving back out into the bays. So on these graphs, we have 2 weeks prior to when we stocked the walleye, 2 weeks post, so this would be the day we stocked, extending out 2 weeks, and then 4 weeks post would be that 3 to 4 week period. And again, we did this on for 6-8 weeks, and the number of smallmouth bass in these bays keep dropping down. So on that top figure, you can see that 2 weeks prior to stocking, you know, population estimates in these bays were pretty low. They escalated in Spring Creek and Cow Creek right at the time we stocked these walleye, and then fell back down. 2021, you know, we saw a similar pattern where, you know, at least in Cow Creek, prior to stocking, these fish were out in the lake. Right when we stocked the fish, these fish moved up, and then by 3 to 4 weeks post post-stocking, these fish had really moved back out of the bays. So that's the number of fish that we had in the system. The number one question we get was, what were any age zero walleye actually consumed? And yes, they were. So this is a figure on the right, both 2019 and 2021, with percent weight of diet items in a smallmouth bass diet. So the white bars represent other fish, and these could be Johnny Darters, Northern Pike, Spot-Tail Shiners, Salmon, you know, you name it. everything kind of falls into that white bar. I did separate out here both cisco and gizzard shad, which the lighter gray bars, those were fish that were not present in 2019, but were present in 2021, and I'll hint at why I pulled that out here a little bit later in the talk. The dark gray lines, this is invertebrates, and you know, this is what we've seen before with a lot of our other smallmouth bass diets, is that smallmouth bass really eat a lot of invertebrates, be it crayfish or backswimmers or ephemerids or you name it. Their primary diet item is going to be invertebrates in the system. If you look at the very bottom of those stack columns, there's a black line at the bottom, and that's actually the percent by weight of age zero walleye, stocked age zero walleye that were consumed. And in both years, it was less than 3% of the total food by weight was age zero walleye. Now, here's another piece of that question is the duration that those age zero walleye are consumed, right? If they only eat them for a day or they eat them for 2 weeks, that can really change how many walleye are being consumed. And we did see a big difference between 2019 and 2021. So again, in that graph, the x-axis, the bottom of the graph, that's going to be the days post-stocking. And then the y-axis on the left, that's going to be the composition by weight of age zero walleye that were consumed. Big takeaways here is that peak consumption only lasts about 4 days. So the majority of your predation on these age zero walleye, when we put them in, is that first 4 days. Right when we saw, you know, when we first started stocking those walleye and saw that predation, that's really the worst of it when you look at it over the season. Big differences, though, in 2019, consumption lasted much longer, you know, up to 25 days in Spring Creek, 15 days in Okobojo, where in 2021, they were consumed for 3 or 4 days, and that's it. So, you know, a big difference between 2021 and 2019. So now we know how many fish are out there per fish. We know how many fish are eating walleye and how long that predation event is lasting. And so we built this robust model to actually estimate the total number of fish that were consumed at that time. And again, not unsurprising, pretty big differences between bays and then also between years. The biggest thing that we found here is that consumption is variable between sites and years. So in 2019 in Spring Creek, we saw almost 30,000 age zero walleye consumed of that year class that was stocked. But compare that to 2021 in Spring Creek, and it was just a handful, 3,000 or 4,000. And I know it sounds like a lot, but again, keep in mind that we're stocking, you know, over 180,000 age zero walleye in these bays at the time of stocking. What was interesting is that the estimated walleye consumption was not linked to the density or the population estimate of smallmouth bass. So the number of smallmouth bass in that system at the time of stocking is really not driving the consumption of walleye. So quick summary here, smallmouth bass primarily eat invertebrates, but they are very opportunistic, and they do consume stocked age zero walleye. But that consumption is variable between years, between bays, and there's no mechanism there that we could pinpoint. It's not that there's more smallmouth bass in this bay, so they're eating more. Almost to the contrary, sometimes our highest density estimates of smallmouth bass had some of our lower consumption estimates of walleye. So it's not linked to the numbers of smallmouth bass in the bay. What's more likely driving that consumption is the availability of alternative prey items in that system. So if you look at, going back to that, the prey fish or the stomach content figure, in 2021 we stocked gizzard shad into some of those bays, and lo and behold, they really show up in the smallmouth bass diets. Cisco had a really good year in 2021. They showed up in the bass diets. So they are opportunistic, and I would say that walleye, age zero walleye, you know, might be consumed right away, but if there's other larger bodied prey items out there, you know, they're going to consume those over those small little walleye. So the big question is, you know, what does that mean for GFMP? What does GFMP get out of this? And what we were hoping to achieve with this study was a way to optimize walleye survival. You know, we spend a lot of money producing, gathering eggs, producing age zero walleye. So we want to do the, you know, do the best we can with the resources we have. And kind of what we came down to is if we stock at least 150,000 age zero walleye per bay, we're essentially guaranteeing that, you know, some of those fish will make it, you know, past that initial predation gauntlet. Here we just looked at smallmouth bass. We did take diets of northern pike, largemouth bass, and some of these other predators out there, and they do eat smallmouth bass. But, you know, when you look at the number of predators out there, really smallmouth bass is the number one predator at the time of stocking. The other takeaway here is our practice of stocking multiple bays in close proximity is a great practice because, you know, we saw those bay-to-bay differences, you know, very apparent, you know, especially in 2019, 30,000 fish consumed versus, you know, 7,000 or 8,000 fish consumed. If we can stock multiple bays in close proximity, we're somewhat guaranteeing that, you know, three or four of those bays out of six or seven are going to have much higher survival of those age zero walleye. Another thing, big takeaway that we took that if we can, if it's possible, if we could work it into our hatchery system to delay those age zero walleye stockings by as little as 2 weeks, we could see some pretty dramatic declines in that initial predation by smallmouth bass. Again, if you can just wait 2 weeks, let that water start warming up, the smallmouth bass will start moving more out into the mouth of the bays and out into the main lake, we could see dramatic survival of our age zero walleye. And then also, you know, the last thing I wanted to end with was, you know, 2021 was the only year we did this, that we did the gizzard shad stocking, and it was very apparent that when gizzard shad are in the system, you know, all predators benefit from having gizzard shad in the system. You know, great for the predators, but then it's also a great alternative prey when we are stocking age zero walleye. You know, get the focus off the age zero walleye, let them eat the shad like the, you know, we want them to, and more walleye will survive because of it. That's all I had. I would be happy to take any questions if you guys had any questions.
Very good. Interesting. Commissioner Bartling.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Commissioner Bartling, you touched on the water temperature maybe being something that has an impact on it. Do water levels also have a potential impact on this?
Yep, absolutely. So both 2019 and 2021, we would call those, you know, average or high water years. Problem is, it's not necessarily water level, it's the sediments that are covered by water, inundated by water at the time. So as these bays change water elevation, there's cobble, rock reefs that are either exposed or inundated that are used for smallmouth bass spawning. And so in different years, based on water level, you know, they'll either find optimal habitat or they'll move on to their to another bay that has optimal habitat that they would want to spawn in. So it's not necessarily just the water level that's doing it. It's, you know, what is that water level providing for smallmouth bass at the time of spawning.
Very good. Any other questions or comments? Mark, just one question. When you pull all the data together and you had your management suggestions, and I'm sorry if I missed this, when will you look at maybe putting some of these management suggestions into place, trying to implement some of those?
So we'll start it next year, and you know, our management recommendations, if you can go back to 2017 when we first thought of this, we were only stocking two or three bays, and it wasn't until 18 that we did a big stocking and then scaled it back again. But looking at this, the idea of doing multiple bays in close proximity, at least 150,000, trying to delay that walleye stocking the best we can, those are things that we've already kind of incorporated into our stocking strategy, just because we had the thought that this would be the best way to, you know, stock Lake Oahe with walleye. But this really confirms that, you know, what we thought was going to happen is actually happening, and so we need to keep proceeding with how we're doing it and maybe tweak it a little bit with that timing of spawning or stocking. But yeah, almost immediately we'll start implementing this.
Sounds good. Very good. Any other questions for Mark? Excellent information. Thank you for sharing that today, Mark. We are just at the top of the hour. We're going to take about a 2 to 3 minute break, and then we are going to come back and do our open forum, and then immediately after our open forum, we'll take up our petition. So we'll be back in about 2 to 3 minutes.